Robin, play the clip.
What the hell was that?
Yeah, what the hell? Why was there so much dancing and pointing?
Who? How did? Why? How many villains are? Spider-Man 3 was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America. Number one movie in America.
Whoa, number one.
The number one movie in America.
Number one.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, my name is Sean Collier. I am here with two video game characters who have begun to question their place in the universe. It's Camila Adams.
Beep boop bop.
And Robin Hitchcock.
Hi, beep boop.
Did you wait?
I did.
Okay. We'll get to it later.
Yeah.
Camila started a reference, I think, without knowing it.
Completely.
Yeah. The new most condescending pet name ever just dropped in the film Companion. That's for later on. Right now, last time we did Ralph Breaks the Internet, very solid 80. That is our second favorite animated film after Toy Story 4 is just 2/3 of a point ahead. So, Good movie.
Yeah, it wasn't as devastating as Toy Story 4, but you know.
You're thinking of Toy Story 3. Toy Story 4 is just kind of like an adventure.
Gotcha. Okay.
Toy Story 3 is, just so you all know, they can die. It is possible for them to die, just like everything else. Toy Story 4 is like, what if there were a weird doll? It's a... We got to be coming up on Toy Story 5, right?
They're really doing that?
They really
did Toy Story 4, and I think won a fucking Oscar for it.
Well, it was definitely nominated for Best Picture.
As long as we're still making kids.
3 was nominated for Best Picture, 4 wasn't, but I think it won Best Animated Feature, regardless.
Toy Story 5 to be released June 19th, 2026, so.
Okay.
Coming right up. You know, if it ain't broke... keep doing it until it broke.
Speaking of broke.
Speaking of which, I certainly had never seen this movie. There was the slightest little bit in the back of my head that was like, maybe I caught it at some point. It was in theaters forever. No, I would have remembered all this bullshit. the other two of you?
I don't remember. I don't. If I saw it, I definitely did not go to the theater to see it. But I, again, like I, this was all, it felt brand new, but yet some parts were familiar. I don't know. That's the sexy and you know it segment. that was fresh. That was a fresh cringe for me.
Well, do you remember them referencing it in Into the Spider-Verse?
Maybe.
Okay, probably not, because they do.
Save the city. And then I save the city again, and again, and again, and again. And I did this.
We don't know.
We don't really talk about this.
And they show him walking down the street.
Oh.
I'm so excited. There's a new joke for you to get in Into the Spider-Verse.
I keep meaning to revisit, because we're not getting the new one yet.
Or ever.
Well, it's, there's enough to worry about in the world. Let me believe that there will be more Spider-Verse.
Okay.
Robin, did you see it at the time?
I did. This came out the year I was living with my siblings out in Washington State, and I saw it with my sister and her friends. My brother and his friends might have come too. It might have been a whole family outing. And we all hated it. And I think I did watch it again at some point in the Disney Plus era and laughed at it. And tried to watch it with that attitude yesterday. Tried to enjoy how much I don't enjoy this movie. But what a mess.
Oy vey.
What a mess of a film.
It's like, I understand that sometimes producers meddle and things go off the rails and you can't quite corral them back. But like, did they just run out of time? Like, clearly they weren't. No one can have been happy with this edit of this script. And yet it came out.
CGI gets actively worse over the course of the movie. And I know they don't really make movies in chronological order, but it does have this sense of running out of money and time.
Yeah. And yet and they had... Robin, tell everyone. In case you have never seen this, good move. And keep it that way. But, or if you just beautifully forget. Robin, tell us what happens, if you can.
All right. Say when.
Oh.
Peter Parker and Mary Jane are still happily together, and she's in an unrealistic Broadway show. A meteorite leaks out Venom. Harry becomes Green Goblin Jr. The first time he goes out eviling, he bumps his head and loses his memories and becomes nice. A fugitive gets turned into Sandman. Peter meets Gwen Stacy and her photographer boyfriend, Eddie Brock, and her police captain dad, who tells him Sandman is the person who actually killed Uncle Ben. Peter and Mary Jane start to have relationship problems, career problems, and they break up. Peter flushes Sandman away. Venom makes Peter wear eyeliner and comb his hair differently and act like a bitch. Harry gets his memories back and his face blown off. Peter struts down the street and goes to a jazz club, and it's very embarrassing. Peter realizes Venom is making him be an asshole, so he gets it out of his brain with a church bell. Venom goes into Eddie. Venom and Sandman, he's still in this, kidnap Mary Jane. Peter comes and fights them. Harry fights with the good guys, but then he sacrifices himself. Peter blows up Venom, and Sandman says he didn't really mean to kill Uncle Ben. Peter and Mary Jane hug.
Yep, time. Yep.
What happens
like
to
4 seconds to spare.
Sandman at the... Does he just go away?
He just goes away.
That's it. Bye-bye.
Just goes to hang out with his family. he didn't really mean it.
It's like, sorry, man. My bad. It was.
He's just a small bean.
I was hungry.
The one thing I understand about what went wrong here is that they set out to make a movie about Sandman with Green Goblish still around. And you like, I can get my head around that as like an appropriate plot for a Spider-Man movie, but then some producers were like, Venom, do you want a Venom? Which you can really feel is smacked onto here. But like, the fact that no one said like, Venom isn't like, you know, an extra guy, like you gotta right. do a lot of story work to make Venom happen, and that this movie is just the this movie is a symbiote. Venom is the symbiote controlling this film and doing evil with it. It's bad. It's bad.
I completely agree that Venom is the biggest problem, but there are a lot of problems. Like, all of the interpersonal drama in this is so fucking boring. And, like, yeah. I really, really like Kirsten Dunst as an actor, and I don't think she's good in this. Like, she seems very stilted and weird, and I don't believe her in her... I don't... Like, Peter seems horrible, right? Like, I wouldn't want to be with this version of Peter either. And right. yet, it doesn't really feel real when she's dumping him. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, it feels like she's like, this is just for this part of the movie, wink. Do you know?
Well, that
wasn't that the point? Didn't Harry put her up to that? Or Harvey? What is his name? James Franco. Didn't he put her up to it to dump him?
Wait a second. What?
No, there's two different. When things break down at the engagement dinner, which that scene makes no fucking sense. Like, what an attitude to walk into dinner with.
Right.
Kirsten. But.
Why didn't she tell him? Why didn't she tell him that you got fired?
Yeah, she never mentioned that. Anyway.
Right.
At that point, they were just both being little shits. Later
well, she
on.
She was still pissed about the kiss. Yes. I beg your pardon.
Which is also so stupid. Like, so many things in this movie happen that don't need to happen and make no sense.
I feel like Peter Parker would not have allowed that. Like,
agreed. It just doesn't. And like, maybe if you're trying to convince me, like, is Venom in him at that point? Is it like, oh, Venom kissed Gwen?
No, Venom's not in him at that point. Venom's
okay, so yeah, it's
hanging
stupid.
Around. Venom's a little dot right. somewhere. He's on the motorcycle. No, it's yes. To be fair, like on the one hand, like Kirsten, why are you withholding all relevant information except the fact that you're mad about this kiss? But on the other hand, yeah, why the fuck did you kiss her? What did that achieve on arbitrary Spider-Man holiday?
Although right. I will say that her being like, that was our kiss. She kissed the astronaut in Spider-Man 2. Oh. She upside down kissed the astronaut.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. I mean, he was her fiance. But like, so it was, she wasn't cheating, but like, you can't copyright protected upside down kiss.
I'll tell you some facts. They don't explain anything.
They don't help much.
Wait. Before we get into facts, yeah. I do have like a overarching theory about the Venom problem.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, I always feel when I talk about these things, it's like I know just enough about comics to sound like I know a lot about comics, but people who actually know a lot about comics would be embarrassed by how little I know about comics. So it's like a dangerous territory to enter. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the sentiment of the first two Spider-Man movies is very 60s Spider-Man, and Venom didn't exist until probably the 80s and maybe the 90s. And I think that that is why it doesn't fit here.
That makes sense. I mean, that is a better fact than any of the facts I'm about to say. Okay. In interest of what happened, though. And I know nothing about the comics, so yes, you are the comic book nerd expert here, Robin. Thank you.
If any listeners are real comic book nerds, please sound off. Tell us how right or wrong I am.
Right.
Spider-Man 3 came out May the 4th, 2007. It wasn't a Star Wars holiday yet. Onto 4,252 screens. That was the record at the time. For widest release, the 12th number one movie of 2007. It made $151.1 million its first weekend alone. Nothing else made $6 million that weekend. Every person who went to the movies went to see Spider-Man 3. Easily won its second weekend, another $58.1 million. There were new releases against it. The best performing of those was 28 weeks later. To be sequelized later this year, which was in second at $9.8 million. So it stomped all over the competition for two weekends, and then it fell in its third weekend when Spider-Man met a villain he could not defeat, Shrek. Shrek the Third made $121.6 million in its opening weekend. Spider-Man 3 spent 7 weeks in the top 10, did a lot of damage in those 7 weeks, $336.5 million domestic. This is the number one movie of 2007. Shrek the Third is in second. And that total is the lowest of Sam Raimi's three Spider-Man movies. But this movie did the best by far worldwide. So globally, this was the top earning Spider-Man film in the world until Far From Home in 2019. Wow. So sorry, everyone. Its opening weekend, still to this day, the 29th highest grossing weekend of all time. This is the 77th top grossing movie of all time. But there are six Spider-Man movies ahead of it on that chart, all the way up to No Way Home in 2021. Yes, still in the death throes of the pandemic, No Way Home became the number three movie of all time, $814 million.
Damn.
That's the one with all the different Spider-Mans. So, to give you a sense of how big Spider-Man is, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is the highest grossing franchise of all time, obviously. It has made $12.4 billion domestic. Star Wars is second at $5.1 billion. Just behind those is Spider-Man alone. If you carve out every Spider-Man movie, both those that are in the MCU and are not, Spider-Man has made $3.3 billion and is the third biggest franchise of all time. It is ahead of Harry Potter. It is ahead of Batman. It is ahead of James Bond. Does it feel like Spider-Man is bigger than all of those things?
I think it's just the fact that we keep reinventing him. And like, it's kind of cheating.
So many Spider-Men.
Right, yeah. It's kind of cheating when you think it, like, when you compare it to, like, yeah, James Bond has been around for, like, ever, and then, like, the Hobbits and all of that business too, but it's just like it's just kind of cheating.
We're on our third Batman. I mean, we're on our like fifth Batman, but like we've had multiple franchises of Batman.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
Tim Burton's, and then weird 90s, and then Christopher Nolan, everything Affleck related, supposedly the Rob Pattinson thing is a spin-off that will continue.
Does the Spider-Man bit also count like the animated?
Yes, that would count, the Spider-Verses.
So then the Batman animated stuff counts too.
Yeah. Right? Although none
it's
of those
just too much.
Be. There's a lot
I don't know. I think maybe Spider-Man is probably like maybe the most universal. When did he came out in the 60s?
I always think of him as being like an iconic 60s character, but I don't actually know for sure.
I don't know. I just think he kind of like spans just, I don't know. I have no answers for this query.
I will say that
Tom Holland is my Spider-Man of choice.
He's your Spider-Man?
Yes. Because after rewatching Tobes, this was woof.
Yeah.
I went back and watched the first one, and I tried to get through the second one, and that didn't pan well.
I watched the first and second. I love them both. I loved watching them again.
Just the number of shots in this movie of Toby staring blankly, like not listening, not reacting, just dead faced looking at a thing. Like,
okay,
that's what he does. Isn't it?
Have either of you seen Molly's Game?
Yes.
Maybe.
Okay, so in Molly's Game, Michael Cera plays Tobey Maguire, and he's like an evil motherfucker. Mm-hmm. And like, he's like a total sociopath and like ruins people on purpose. And is like, I love watching someone's life get destroyed. And this is the first time I've watched this since seeing Molly's Game. And I was like, what? Like... I don't like knowing where this is coming from. See also the end of Babylon.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, ah!
No, I think I agree that Tom Holland is my Spider-Man. I think that the explanation I have for why he keeps coming back is that there are never going to be kids that don't think that Spider-Man is cool.
Like, yeah.
You can get your head around, like, not all kids are going to agree that Batman or Superman or Iron Man are super cool, but Spider-Man, because he or at least starts as a kid and swings from a
wedding.
Yeah,
that's the point
I was
trying to make. Yes.
Yeah. By the way, those franchise rankings require that we do not accept Disney live-action reimaginings as a franchise. For some reason, Box Office Mojo says, like, Aladdin and Dumbo and are a franchise, okay. And the third... Yeah, that doesn't count. Oh. So after this, Sony planned to have a Sam Raimi Spider-Man 4 that went through multiple scripts. The really solid thing that was being developed was bringing in the Vulture, played by John Malkovich.
Hmm. That would have worked.
It would have worked. It would have felt weird to have John Malkovich in this world. I can't explain why, because like Willem Dafoe and Alfred Molina are in this world. There's other old
weirdos. I was going to say, I'm like, John Malkovich is, to me, like the natural, like, I think the other big misstep with this movie is Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah.
Like, he is
he's not good.
Dead weight in this movie. And it's clear that he kind of knows it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
out of his depth.
When I was explaining to Colin last night, I'm like, oh, this is that situation where you get an Oscar nomination and then you can do whatever you want. And you either get to make a really good movie or you get to make a lot of money. And he was like, making a lot of money. And I am not judging him for that choice, just to be clear. I would have probably done the exact. Like, it's also cool, right? I get to be in a Spider-Man movie. That's fucking cool. But, like, you can tell that he knows he made the wrong choice. He's like, this is my moment, and I'm fucking it up. You can tell he knows. And he's like, I'm going to go back to being the janitor from Wings.
We gave you a present because we liked Sideways. And you broke the present. No more presents for you.
Yeah.
They talked about the John Malkovich thing was apparently pretty far along. They also were talking about Bruce Campbell switching characters again and being Mysterio, the character that Jake Gyllenhaal eventually became.
That would have been too much.
They talked about Anne Hathaway playing Black Cat, which, I mean, she just did that in a different universe shortly thereafter. But negotiations broke down, Raimi moved on, and it kind of sat until Sony was contractually required to relaunch the series several years later. But now, at various points since No Way Home came out, Raimi, Tobey Maguire, and Kirsten Dunst have all said, I'd do another one, so...
I would love that, honestly. Like, as much as I think this movie is a piece of garbage, and maybe... And like, also, I feel like I only watched No Way Home one time because I'm annoyed about something that happens in it. But I do remember feeling like they had created some closure for an unfinished franchise and a franchise that ended poorly.
Yep.
And so I do like that for them. And maybe they shouldn't mess with that. But at the same time, I want Kirsten Dunst to do whatever she wants and have a great time.
What didn't you like? Camila, you go.
I don't like a lot of Kirsten Dunst's early work.
Really?
Like there's a lot of stuff that I don't think she like really grew into herself until I didn't think she really grew into herself until I saw her in Fargo. Like, I don't know if I saw anything prior, like between Virgin Suicides or Marie Antoinette or whatever that was, between though that and Fargo. I don't recall.
Bring it on.
Yeah, she was fine in that.
Okay.
But I really wasn't expecting much, you know?
Like, Melancholia.
I think she's like brilliant.
Lars von Trier's Melancholia. She's the only one that knows that the Earth is about to be destroyed, and she's sad about it for an hour, and then she decides to just lie naked under the light of the planet that is about to crush her. That she
had
that
movie
going
so
on. Oh, that movie's
so good.
I love
that movie.
I did not see that one.
I highly recommend it.
Oh, you'd think that one of these would be Sam Raimi's top-grossing movie. It's not! Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness from 2022 earned $411.3 million. Once again, the post-COVID box office death is a myth, not a thing. I said it last time, and I will say it this time. So yeah, I feel like we can't talk about the emo dance, emo phase, and then the dance and the jazz, because everyone else in the world has been making fun of it for 18 years, and it's just because I'm just getting to it now, but what the fuck? First,
it's so embarrassing!
It is! I'm so embarrassed for him. Like, why? Who let you do this? Like, why? This is so unnecessary. It reminded me of Ron Burgundy.
Can you see, do you see that they couldn't decide whether the passersby should be into him or not?
Yeah.
Like, one will be like, hey there, sexy. And the next one will be like, why are you pointing at me? Like, even they don't know if this is working.
I feel like that's what is what would happen, right?
I don't even know. Like, there's in what? No. There's nothing about anything that he was doing that was in any way attractive. And I hate the fact that just because they give him bangs, oh, now he's a bad boy. He's got bangs
and eyeliner.
Yes.
Yeah. Turned him straight into Fallout Boy. Like, yes. The fact that, like, when Venom took over Eddie, which, by the way, I like every Venom movie more now, having seen this movie. I'm like, wow, you were fine. Even last year's, which was bad. Like you were fine. But when it takes Eddie, it's Venom. But when it takes Peter, it's just goth Spider-Man? Like, what? Why?
All I can say is because what was the pre-existing condition? Like, maybe that's...
Okay, let's talk about the biosocial theory of emotional regulation. I'm doing a lot of therapy right now, guys. And yeah, some people experience stronger and more volatile emotions, and Eddie Brock clearly does.
Yeah, like, okay, so I feel like, Eddie, you're taking this to a whole nother level. Like, I embarrassed you at work, and your girlfriend broke up with you. Okay, now you want to, like, threaten the whole, like, lives? Like, bruh, I need you to do some self-reflection. Let's just back it up.
Well, and so that's all terrible. I'm taking away 10 full points for when Peter Parker says, now dig on this. That is minus 10. But long before we get there, it's like, what the fuck is James, the whole James Franco plot? I understand, yes, we haven't fully resolved that yet, I guess, but, like, that was two movies ago. Like,
yeah.
like die or make nice. Like, what, he's flying around on a hover snowboard for, by the way, a Quidditch match, a literal Quidditch match. There were Harry Potter movies out at this point, and they're ducking and zooming around in those. That's a Quidditch match. Ooh. I know one when I see one. That ends with him dying. Like, he flies unprotected face first into a metal
pipe. Wear a helmet.
And gets a bump on the head and plot amnesia for a few days.
But the thing that's so weird about his plot amnesia, I mean, plot amnesia is always stupid, but this isn't, it's like personality amnesia. Like, he was a jerk in the first movie. He's always been a jerk.
Jerk-ish. Like, he was nice to, when they were friends, they were friends.
I mean, he was his friend. I guess it's like, oh, he does the charity of being friends with a poor kid, but, like, he's a asshole.
I don't know. I think that he was just, I don't know.
He's, I'm glad you have a better place in your heart for him than I do. I feel like a jerk now.
Not so. not so much. I mean, just because the first one is like fresh in my mind is that I think that he was just maybe, if anything, if any jerk-like tendencies he had towards Peter, yeah, he would be like shitty with him at times, but it was always like directly after his dad had just like laid into him.
You are
right. So it was just like reactive and, you know, I'm still not okay, but he
wasn't like totally right.
And a jerk at heart.
His butler really, like, wow, way to hit it where he lives.
But also, like, you wait this long to, like, tell the truth? To break, yeah, you've seen him go through all this stuff. You saw that, you know, he broke up with old girl or she broke up with whatever. And, you know, him and old dude weren't friends anymore. And, like, I'm sure you noticed his plot of revenge that he was trying to, like, do murder or whatever. And now you want to be like, by the way, I'm pretty sure Spider-Man didn't kill your dad.
Best butler has definitely never seen Remains of the Day. I'm going to say that because if he saw that, he would learn that when you're working for a Nazi, you have to say something. Similarly, when you know that Spider-Man didn't mean to kill Green Goblin, you need to say something.
Was James Franco never a good actor? Because
never a good actor.
Never a good actor.
Now that
he just is hot.
Now that we know he's gross, it's really easy to be like, why can't you act though? But like,
it's just because he's hot.
He's an Oscar nominee for that pee drinking movie.
He's hot. He's hot. But, that's it.
He's not good in this.
He is playing life on easy mode.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
In a movie with all of this other shit that I hated that I've already mentioned, I think I hate the scene where him and MJ cook dinner the most.
Oh,
and
my
dance
God.
To the twist. That you chose the twist. For your romance in 2007.
I mean, and that also, it reminds me, like, the fakeness of her Broadway show. Like
Broadway, the musical.
And also just her, like, obviously lip syncing to whoever else. Like,
I actually thought that was her voice because I thought it was not good. I feel like if they're going to have somebody else sing for her, they should get a better singer.
That's all they could afford. That's part. That was something that the money ran out for.
So what did we like? I liked the time when Eddie called Jesus sir. That was good.
I tell you, when that scene was going on and me like looking around this whole like the scene, like, is there somebody there? Who is he talking to? Like, are you talking to? This is how you address our Heavenly Father? Like, I'm not mad at it, but. It's just I've never seen it before.
I want to talk about his dye. I'm sorry, we do have to say positive things, but I have to address the dye job. Ugh. Were there really people
that
out
was
in the world who were precious enough about Eddie Brock, the comic strip character, that they needed Topher Grace, television actor, to dye his hair blonde?
It was also the time. Like, he was probably doing it. Would have done it anyway. Isn't that like
that was just
Frosted
like,
Tips?
Okay,
like weren't we doing
Frosted
that?
Tips was,
boys?
Was when I was in high school, which is this came out after college,
2007.
Yeah,
there were some Hollywood types still holding on to that.
Oh God, that was a mistake. Some like I like there's certain fashion things that I'm like, isn't it great that we do these silly little things? And then there's other fashion things like low rise pants and frosted tips where I'm like, never again. And thin eyebrows, never again.
Oh God,
never
yeah.
ever ever.
Oof.
Yes.
He yelled Shazam. Was that a deep Easter egg?
Isn't Shazam DC?
Yeah, but he
yes.
Sure. So, okay, that was. I liked how much they leaned into the absurdity of Sandman's transformation. That just like this fugitive stumbled into one of them all night Manhattan particle colliders, and then he's banned. Like at that point, I'm like, okay, fine. This I'll allow.
So the way that I knew that Sandman was supposed to be in the movie and Venom was added rather than the other way around is that the Sandman transformation scene and when he like wakes up as Sandman, I'm like, I can imagine those being storyboarded, right? I can imagine that being like, you know, like directors often talk about how like a scene comes to them and then they build the whole movie around it. I'm like, that is probably the scene they built this whole movie around. And I do think, even though the CGI is dated, I do think it is like a really beautifully done scene. Like it actually like genuinely makes me like tear up when he like reaches for the locket and can't grab it the first time. And then I immediately start laughing when he takes form and gives himself a striped shirt.
Yeah. Show us his sand dick, you cowards. There's no reason why we didn't see his sand dick for a little bit.
Good point.
Anything else? This movie made me snack more. I just kept going and getting additional snacks to make it to the end of the film.
I appreciate Bruce Campbell popping up in every one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was nice.
Friendship and loyalty. Mm-hmm.
So is Gwen Stacy supposed to be Spider-Gwen?
Yes, same person, but I don't believe the character of Spider-Gwen existed even in the comics when this film was made.
Okay.
But I'm not certain on that.
Okay. I've got some questions. I'm still confused about the logistics on this spider suit situation.
Oh, boy.
Now, Tom Holland's spider, you know, I get it. I understand that. But is he just like putting it on under everything all the time? Or is he like for real, like changing in an alley somewhere? Because I tell you, it's not a quick change to get into leggings and a unitard. Like, that's not something that happens.
It's like a wetsuit. It's like a full dive suit. And that'll take people 10 minutes.
Right. And then I noticed, which I just got a little chuckle, when he's taking the, after his first contact with Sandman, and he's taking the sand out of his boots, his little stirrups, his pants are stirrups.
Stirrup pants. That's something that should come back in style. Those are cute.
Shall we rate it?
Oh, boy.
Also, Toby's not a good crier.
Terrible crier. It's so easy to make fun of, and there's so many bad things, but really what it is this is like one of the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies that are just some stuff happening. You know, every fourth MCU movie is just like chugging the plot along. You may be seeing one later this week. Who's to say? We'll find out. I have not seen Captain America yet. But the difference with the MCU, at least for me, the difference with the MCU movies is that even the entries that are bad are built up with years of goodwill and like attachment to the characters. So really this is like a DC extended universe movie where it's like not a lot is happening and I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it's entirely competent. There are moments that show you why Sam Raimi was good at this. I started at 37. I took away the 10 points for Now Dig on This. I took away 3 more points for switching back and forth between his CGI and real face during the climactic fight scene. 20.
CGI gets so bad.
Yeah, 24. I ended at 24.
I'm going to say 30. I think my favorite parts were like J.K. Simmons and Elizabeth Banks. Like at any point in time, like that whole skit about his wife and his pills
with the that he needed to take.
Buzzer? Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That was fun.
Need gold.
And I'm at 31.
That is 85.
That seems high for this.
85 is the total of those 3 points.
Oh, then
now
divide
I have
by
to
three.
Divide by 3 and get to 28 and a third.
Okay, there it is.
We're sorry, Toby. Stay where you
know
are.
What you did.
It's, yeah. To the bingo card.
Slow-mo fight.
Oh, yes. Slow-mo fight scene. Doesn't get me to a bingo unless Spider-Man has become a unit of time. I saw that one Spider-Man franchise ago.
Did they kiss in the rain?
We did. We got a flashback of...
Count it.
Yeah. Yep. And daddy issues.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Both Kirsten and... James.
Can I make a case for job search because she gets fired and then gets a new job?
She looks in the classifieds. That counts.
That's
all right.
Okay, yeah.
I have a bingo.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
All right.
Congratulations. Now we both have 2.
Yes, we are lousy with vetoes.
Yeah. Excellent. And as we've established in the past, during Black History Month draws, Camila gets unlimited vetoes and we get none as... It should be. So we will get to that in a bit. First, it is time for You Can't Handle the Truth. Robin and I both saw Companion.
So I saw a tweet that was like, go see Companion without knowing what it's about. And I was like, sure. And then when I saw it, immediately knew what it was about. And I was like, did I see an ad for this? Or is it just obvious what this is about? And I don't really want to pretend because it's so fucking stupid to pretend.
No,
so you don't have to, right?
I had seen the trailer, which makes it very clear. But I'm okay. Like, I'm pretty sure that, like, there are clues from the first frame of the movie.
As soon as she thanked the car, I was like, oh, so she's a robot. So,
Camila, it's, yeah. It's that this guy has a AI girlfriend. And everyone knows she's a robot, except she doesn't know she's a robot. For some reason, the robots aren't allowed to know that about themselves.
I saw this episode of Buffy.
It felt like that. What's his name? Vaguely handsome but forgettable man? Jack Quaid. Jack Quaid
is not handsome.
No.
And I don't understand how two incredibly handsome individuals produce someone who I cannot really understand how his face ends up on a screen in front of me.
He programs her to kill a rich guy so they can steal the rich guy's money, and then they're just going to leave her behind, but things go sideways.
The thing is, this movie is so fucking stupid, and I had so much fun watching it. Like, okay. It is, like, everything is so telegraphed. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't have meaningful thoughts or themes where there could easily be some. Like, it should be about, like, the patriarchy, and it's not. But it is so much fun to watch anyway. I'm still like, yeah, get him.
Is it good for her?
It is good for all caps. Her was my literal Letterboxd review.
There are Letterboxd reviews that are like, watch, men aren't going to like this because they don't appreciate the. No, I get it. You're saying that you're saying that men would rather have a possession than a partner. Just like 500 other movies have said better than this.
This movie has like, no awareness that it's saying that.
I don't think so.
Does not understand that it is about the patriarchy.
It's just it sets up the thing, and then it's just like, can this robot escape? Isn't it nice to escape a bad situation? That's the point.
It's so dumb, and yet I very much enjoyed watching it, and like do recommend it.
No, we both. I see we both gave it 3 stars. This would be a great drive-in movie.
I wavered on it. I wanted to maybe do 2.5 and a like, but like I didn't actually like it.
So it's 3 and no like?
Yes.
I did 3 and a hesitant like.
This is like this movie succeeded.
I thought the lead was really good. Sophie Thatcher.
She is great.
Pushed it over.
I liked her a lot in Heretic too.
Oh yes. She does great in Yellow Jackets.
I still need to watch that.
She's the young Juliet Lewis, and she does such a good job of mimicking her. Like, it's crazy.
All right, okay.
Speaking of 2.5 and a like, Hard Eyes is out. It's very dumb and it's very transparent. Like, hey, it's a holiday. You want a slasher movie? You want a carbon copy of a carbon copy of Scream, but with Valentine's Day in it. Here you go. And yet, like, it's just short and quick and fun enough. And is occasionally, I actually laughed in this more often than I actually laugh in most movies like this. And I'm enjoying the power trio, which does not include the lead. The lead actress's name is Olivia Holt. I don't really know who she is, but the combo of Mason Gooding from the recent Screams, Kid Kuba,
love him,
Jordana Brewster, and unrecognizable middle-aged Devon Sawa. Like, yeah.
Devon Sawa!
Let's do this. Let's absolutely.
That's my dude.
Wait, Devon Sawa's in Hard Eyes?
Devon Sawa is one of the cops, and like until the credits roll and it says with Devon Sawa, you're like, that what? What? Like, you have no idea that you're looking at Devon Sawa unless you come in forearmed with this knowledge.
Well, did you watch any of the Chucky series?
I watched the first episode.
And you also did not know that was Devon Sawa, I guess.
Apparently not. Absolutely a fun date movie, if nothing more than that. I saw I'm Still Here. Best Picture nominee, Best Actress nominee, possible Best Actress winner. Now that Emilia Perez is vanishing off the face of the earth, I've seen that Fernanda Torres is second behind Demi Moore in most of the odds now.
Interesting. She had her own blackface scandal.
Yeah. But it, the
messy, messy season.
Being that there's not a single movie without a scandal.
Right.
She's good. That aside, don't put that aside. Look, it's a good, moving, upsetting movie about life under authoritarian regimes, which is either not what we need at all right now, or exactly what we need right now, depending on.
I was like, I am not in the place to receive this.
No.
Like, right. I feel like I just truly was like, I can't think about this. This is maybe what's about to happen to all of us, and I can't.
Yeah.
Handle that, and so I can't evaluate this as a film.
I mean, I was on the road all week for the listeners, so this was at the Alamo Drafthouse Chicago, so it was a lot easier with like a big thing of queso and then a key lime jar. But it bummed me out, and I feel like I got more out of Seed of the Sacred Fig bumming me out than I got out of this bumming me out. I don't know why this one has surged where Seed of the Sacred Fig hasn't.
Because Seed of the Sacred Fig is sad, and this is ultimately a movie about making it through this horrible time.
Yeah.
What'd you think about that coda, though, with Fernanda Montenegro?
That was fine.
That broke me in half.
I liked it. I liked it more than a lot of the unnecessary codas this year. It was bad. It was better than the bad brutalist coda and, you know, for sure. several others.
I fucking fell apart during that scene.
Understandably.
Yeah.
And I watched Candyman again from 1992. Always good.
What a great movie.
I almost watched that last night.
it was just
randomly.
That was also at an Alamo. That was at the new Alamo Drafthouse Indianapolis. And I had a lovely time. So,
did you just go hopping around to Alamo Drafthouse?
I usually try to hit one or two per big long January trip because the closest one to here is like 5 hours, and it's so far and above the best movie going experience that I'm like, I got to get this while I can. That's it. I watched like 1.5 Final Destinations on HBO in the hotel room one night, and that made me ready for the one that's coming out in a few months.
Yeah.
Whenever it's coming out, I will be there for it. And if there's a truck full of logs on the way to the theater, I will not drive behind it.
I watched Wild Robot.
Okay.
And it was really good.
My number two or three movie of the year. I can't remember.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting to really get into it as much as I did, but Lupita was great. Pedro Pascal was awesome as the fox. I didn't even realize he was the fox until I looked it up after the fact. I knew the voice sounded familiar and all that, but it was like, as much as I liked it, it almost kind of felt like once the beak, Bright Bill went on his way, like it felt like, okay, the movie's over. Like that's it. We're done now. I don't think we really needed all of the last half hour of it.
You can make the argument. I mean, there's, for those who haven't seen it, like the kind of the main plot ends, and then in the last however long, like winter arrives and everyone almost dies, and they have to learn to like each other to not freeze to death. And I thought that worked as a her lessons spreading beyond just her life, her message affecting the community at large, so to speak.
Right on. Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was so beautiful that I was giving it a lot of credit.
Yeah. No, I mean, I still very much enjoyed it, and I would watch it again. And That Thing You Do, I apparently never saw that.
What? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
I mean, it was fine. Like, I gave it 2.5 stars on heart. Yeah. Like, this is like, I guess.
Is this a white person thing?
It might be. It might very well be. I think my problem is, like, you know, I'm used to the formula of the rock, the band biopic, or fake or otherwise, you know, whatever. Like, there was no real trial or tribulation. What this was a terrible love story, a terribly written love story about the two, or the three people, I don't even remember their names. Shades.
Yeah.
Liv Tyler and Jonathan Sackman or whatever his name is, Sacho or whatever. So it was like, that's what this was. It was just like a poorly written love story about those three people because everything else was kind of incidental.
I think his last name is pronounced Sheck.
Sure. And Christina Applegate's ex.
Yes.
How many times I get it. You guys only wrote the one song for this film, but every fucking scene? Do we have to play it in its entirety?
And yet it is the greatest song ever written.
Wait. I'm flashing back to Little Treat. When Camila had us watch The Five Heartbeats, I think that...
Yes.
I think there is a racial line here.
Exactly. Because like, once you've seen The Five Heartbeats, once you've seen The Five Heartbeats, that thing you do, this is just like, this is preschool. Like, y'all, it's like, that. It's cute.
I do think that thing you do is a better song than it is a movie, but I also think it's one of the best songs ever written.
And you are free to have that thought. And finally, I saw Strange Darling. Have you seen that yet, Sean?
No. Which one is that?
Cal Gallner and...
God, we didn't even talk about how annoying it is that they retconned Sandman into killing Uncle Ben. That's so annoying.
Oh, yeah. Right?
So annoying. Rude. I thought of that because of Kyle Gallner. If you know, you know.
I have zero awareness of Strange Darling. This just missed me entirely.
Really? This is a fantastic movie. Like, it's you know, advertised as a horror film. It's got a great twist. I love, it's beautifully shot. Giovanni Ribisi is the DP on this. I didn't know that's what you did, bruh. Like,
that's his actual hobby, not melting things.
Right, no. he's the director of photography. He might melt some stuff on the side on breaks too. But it's so good. So it's a story about, in the beginning, they give you the placard of like between 2016 and 2020, like one of the most prolific serial killers was like rolling around in Colorado. And this story is like loosely based on that. And there's also Ed Begley Jr. and Barbara Hershey is in this. It's basically only like, you know, we have like two main characters and that's what's big. But the twists are crazy pants. Like, this movie is insane. It's told, they tell you this story is going to be told in 6 chapters, and then they give them to you out of order, the chapters.
Ooh, so devious. It's
like, yes, but it works very well. Like, I've seen other movies that have done that, and it's just like, you really didn't have to. But this, it really helps with the tension and with like your disbelief. Like, once you get the what? Once you finally get all the pieces together, it's like, my God. So, yeah, it's a really good movie. I highly recommend it. That's it.
Yeah, you're selling me on it, and it sounds like not actually my kind of movie, but you're making it like,
I want to watch it. It's not gory, though.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's not gory.
Also, when I saw Companion, all the like trailers were for horror movies, and I was like, do I hate horror? Like, is this the sort of the way that I would be like, I don't really like musicals, and then like... I totally like musicals. I just don't extra like musicals. I think that I might have to adjust horror movies to be in that category where it's like, it's not that I dislike this.
I wanted to just give major props to the woman who, the main character, the main actress, Willa Fitzgerald. I have never seen her in anything before. She is phenomenal in this movie. I mean, she's done a bunch of other stuff, but nothing that I've seen. So,
hold on, Googling it's more
of
face.
I would say more of a psychological thriller, if anything. And she does some like excellent. I don't want to give anything away, but like body act, like physical acting too. That Jesus, like it's just, and they just have these shots that you just like are staring. You're just like lost in it, and like nothing is happening really, but you're just lost in what's in this just one shot. Or maybe it was the gummy. I don't know. Either way, watch it. Strange Darling.
to Robin's point about horror trailers right now, I should be saying fool me once because I spent 3 months hyped for Long Legs and then went.
Oh, yeah.
That monkey trailer, I'm like, this is the... this is selling it better than anything has ever been sold to me.
I know,
before.
Right? And I'm gonna go in there.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go watch it.
And
it's the shot. It's the shot with the dude covered in blood that that really gets me. I'm just like, yeah, this is gonna be.
Or good. When she's diving into the electrified pool and he's
yeah.
And what's the name of Ryan Coogler's movie? Brothers?
Sinners.
That movie, yes. That trailer is so good.
I hadn't seen that trailer until yesterday. I was just already on board based on the talent involved. Oh, right. My God. Oh, right. My God. And also, like, honestly, I'm afraid that it's going to be too scary and I'm going to not be able to enjoy it. It's the same way I felt when I saw the trailer for Nope. Where I was like, I want to see it, but also I'm going to hate it. And that is exactly what happened. I mean, like, I loved hating it, but I have watched it twice more and hated it twice more.
So, we're going long, but speaking of Ryan Coogler, I watched, I don't know, 65 minutes of Black Panther on TBS. And I think enough time has passed where we can say, if you don't agree that that's the best Marvel movie, stop saying words about movies. Because
absolutely,
I like a lot of Marvel movies. I like a lot of Marvel movies a lot. Black Panther is so clearly the best one that it's just like, we don't need to argue. Like, you can either be right or you can be wrong.
The train fight's a little, could use some work.
Not during Black History Month. Right?
Sorry. Okay. All right. Disregard.
Robin, what have you seen other than Companion?
I saw The Apprentice because I'm Oscar's death racing. Mm. You know what? Again, I'm not in the right place to receive this movie.
Yeah, this is a wicked time to watch it. Like, I mean, it was bad enough when I watched it before the election. But.
And I think that Sebastian Stan was so good in A Different Man that I'm very happy for him that he is an Oscar nominee, even if it is for the wrong movie. And we're just going to move on from there. And I saw Presence.
How did you like that?
I loved it.
Yeah? I think I'm going on Monday.
Why do we think I love these perspective gimmick movies so much? Because I didn't like the Paranormal Activity series. Is it because I tortured myself with the Paranormal Activity series and now I'm like, now that's how you do it?
Well, it's two different things, right? It's holding a camera versus seeing through another person's eyes, or in the case of here, seeing through a wall's eyes. The camera in a true found footage movie is a weird element, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you want me to stop there or psychoanalyze you?
I mean, yes. Psychoanalyze away.
Good time to feel like you're not you for a while. Like, and not just you specifically, but like when I go to one of
me specifically.
Well, maybe, but when I go to one of the big immersive theater things, I'm like, ah, good. I will put on this mask and not have the burden of myself for 2 hours. These movies kind of do that.
Yeah. The other thing I loved about Presence is that it's 85 minutes long.
Nice.
Yes.
Sweet.
I don't know if the ending is great. I might have left that unresolved.
Okay, I was going to say that I read a ton of Letterboxd reviews. Reading Letterboxd reviews is my new doom scrolling, or like it's like the thing I do to stop me from doom scrolling. And I would say that the ending of Presence is apparently very unpopular. I thought it was awesome. I also screamed, like screamed. Jamie Lee Curtis screamed in the movie theater, which I don't think I have ever done before. Yikes. And it was emotionally resonant for me, too. So I liked it a lot.
No, I recommend it.
I love seeing
it,
Lucy Liu in a good movie.
Yeah, it's been
like
a while.
I genuinely was like, have I seen Lucy Liu in a good movie since 2001? You know, or like when did Kill Bill come out? That's 2003, right. Something like that. Regardless.
I mean, very, very small sample size, but it's my number one movie of the year. Of the six 2025 releases I've seen, definitely the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still mad at Steven Soderbergh for ruining the Oscars, but he does have another movie coming out in 2 months, or next month, I think.
Yeah.
So, with the same screenwriter, so we'll see.
I saw the trailer, but I've completely blanked on what it is.
Cate Blanchett and Michael Fassbender as married spies.
More married spies. Boy, a lot of married spies in the world. I went to a spy novelty bar in Milwaukee. It's called Safe House. You have to have a password to get in, and then there's little missions all around the restaurant, and it was great.
I love that.
It was a lot of
fun. That sounds really fun.
And unintentional spy theme on my vacation. I was at the, if you're going to be in Chicago, at the Museum of Science and Industry, which is one of the buildings from the 1893 World's Fair. I thought that was two stops. I read that book, Devil in the White City, and I really wanted to see part of the 1890. The 1893 Chicago World's Fair is my Roman Empire, by the way. Like, I think about
a
lot. I was like, what's still standing from this? And it was a museum I was already going to. And their temporary exhibit is 007 Science, and nice. Like, some of it is sciency and like, yeah, I guess there's things to think about, but moreover, man, do they have a lot of cool shit from the James Bond movies. I enjoyed this way more than watching a James Bond movie, because I'm like, that's the titular golden gun, there's Jaws's teeth, there's the car from Casino Royale that goes woo, 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 and flips over 700 times.
John texted us a picture of the car from GoldenEye. I was like, look for the red button.
It just occurred to me that that's the Jaws's teeth, that's the Jaws's teeth that you're talking about.
No, do you think it's not. Was the shark? Yes. The shark's name is Bruce.
Yeah. And he has much larger teeth.
I didn't know. Perspective, there was nothing next to it. Like, I don't know how big it
was. That's fair.
I have a couple more movies I want to talk about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I thought you were done.
Through the Oscars death race, I also watched Better Man. Robbie Williams is a monkey movie.
Yeah.
And it's dreadful. It's so bad. And I just want to apologize to my ancestors fought for the American Revolution. They fought for freedom.
They
and
were trying
to
escape, make it so that we wouldn't have to watch Better Man.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And I know that there's a lot of things about the current state of this country that would upset them, but I feel like that's the worst.
That's the big one.
Yeah. And I saw September 5. Which is incredibly stressful. I literally lied down on the floor of the theater at one point.
What? Oh my God.
But really good. Like, an extremely well-done movie that made me feel like I was actively dying from watching it.
Oh my God.
One of the most successful movies that make you read the Wikipedia article of the year. I went
straight
to the Munich hostage situation Wikipedia page and had a nice time.
I haven't seen the movie Munich, the Steven Spielberg movie, since I saw it in the theater 20 years ago. And I definitely was like, I should rewatch Munich. Munich was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet you haven't, because who is like, you know what I'm doing today?
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, especially now. But anyway, I also watched Venom, The Last Dance. And I thought it was fine. I was surprised that everybody thought it was so terrible.
I still haven't finished it.
Same as all of those movies have the same problem, which is that when Venom or Eddie are on screen, it's great, and everything else is boring and terrible.
Well, it's also, for me, I was starting to have problems with it, because it feels like when we do this kind of thing with the trilogy of it all, is that now it just feels gimmicky, like Tom or Eddie and Venom, like the whole thing. It's like we're pushing it now, like it's not, I don't know how to explain it, but it feels much more and not as natural as it could as the first one, or not as funny or genuine. Maybe that's what I'm looking for.
It
genuine
force,
like it feels like Tom is just like, yeah, let's put a bow on this, let's go ahead, let's land the plane, guys, and let's get this done. Maybe I'm just projecting my own feelings on it.
I mean, you might be pulling on what made other people dislike it that I didn't feel.
I didn't think it was good.
No, okay. It was. That's the thing. Like, don't get me wrong. This movie's not good. But I was expecting it to be actively bad. And then I was like, this is fine.
It just felt like I guess we got to do another one of these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did make Spider-Man 3 seem worse.
Yes, much better handling. Hey, he becomes a Venom horse at a moment.
Right.
Automatically better than Spider-Man 3.
Right.
Right.
And I watched Fly Me to the Moon on Apple Plus, and I don't like that movie, and I got mad at it.
Is this the one with Channing Tatum?
It's Channing Tatum and ScarJo.
I thought this movie came out like 15 years ago.
It seems like a 15-year-old movie, and it should just be a space race rom-com, and it like cannot rest. It's like, why, like, just be the movie that you want to be, and it just keeps being like, but we could also be this. It's stupid.
Shall we draw a movie?
Let's.
It is Black History Month. Camila made a list for us. Camila, how not a new this we did this last year as well. Tell us how you compiled this list of selections.
I chose movies with black leads or heavy black characters, preferably ones that did not have some sort of trauma involved, but sometimes you can't miss it. I think I and also black directors are also on this list as well. I don't remember. I think reluctantly, Tyler Perry made it on there.
But you have unlimited vetoes.
But I have unlimited vetoes for the Tyler Perry of it all.
Camila has unlimited vetoes, which is going to come into effect as soon as I say I drew Big Mama's House 2.
Veto!
Exercise my veto, man.
Okay. Gonna move along. A present. A present to all of us.
Black Panther?
The selection is Scream 2. Scream 2.
Yes!
Yes!
Any old time. We'll watch any old time.
Hallelujah!
And we know why, Tony.
Yes, we know exactly why. Because all of my all of my dreams have been answered. And Stu Mocker is coming back to Scream 7.
I haven't watched since halfway through Scream 4. And so I was like, oh, does this mean I'm going to have to catch up? And so maybe this will be the start of my catch up.
Maybe. Yes. There you go. And I mean, obviously, you're going to have to watch the first one before this.
Obviously.
Because,
we're not animals.
We are civilized people.
Wait, when is the most recent? It's never more than 6 months since I saw Scream the first at... the Rango's Giant Cinema, that is the largest movie screen in Pittsburgh not too long ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, October 18th. I can count that, right? I can go straight on to, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
People are, let us
we
not
have
get.
Theories?
Let us not
I
get,
guess we could save it.
Well, yeah, let's get this, let's not do the full referendum on it now, but I do, people are like, why would they bring Stu back? That doesn't make a little bit of sense.
Why wouldn't they bring Stu back?
You know what it makes more sense then? Dying because a TV fell on your face from one foot? That isn't
right.
A thing that kills you. And like, yeah, he lost a lot
that
of blood.
That could easily kill you. That could easily kill you.
No, it couldn't. How? A tube TV, maybe right. 36 inches. A plastic tube TV goes...
Getting hit in the head could kill you. Period.
I feel like he would've, the glass just shattered. See, my theory is that he survived.
Sure.
That's what I've been pushing this whole time, and that he has been, and I can't get lost, I can't get caught up in the minutiae because nobody's paying me to, but I my theory
however
is that,
if you would like to pay Camila Adams right. to get caught up in the minutiae
is that he is like put away somewhere, he's in jail somewhere, sure. and for whatever reason nobody knows who he is and blah blah blah, and he has been pulling the strings of these kids. Like a Manson in jail or whatever. Like he's the one that's gotten these kids to do all the dirt outside. Boom.
Love it.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
I love it.
Checks
too.
Can be sent K-A-H-M-E-E-L-A.
If it's anything but that, I'm going to be a little disappointed.
Yeah,
but that's,
truly.
That's for later this year. First, Scream 2. One of the best. One of my and a pivotal Yay. Movie from my childhood. Save it for the pod. Before we save it for the pod, Spider-Man 3. Why do we have a why, Tony? We didn't do anything. We didn't have the trailer.
Forget the fucking trailer.
Yeah, let's not. The letterbox is people are dancing and it's not great, but that doesn't matter because they're happy. And Spider-Man 3 was released May 4th, 2007. What was the number one song in America?
Rihanna.
No.
Britney?
Mm-mm.
Beyonce.
No.
Justin Katie Timberlake. Perry.
Neither of those. Your first hint is I recently had to sit my wife down and explain that I would not be going to this person's comeback tour.
Comeback tour? Nelly Furtado?
I also thought Nelly Furtado, and then I was like, is Nelly Furtado going to come back to it?
Right, that was my next question.
I mean, unofficial comeback tour. Like, she hasn't gone anywhere, but it's a comeback tour.
Shakira?
No.
Kelly Clarkson?
That's closer, but no. Closer, you know, in tone.
So wait, somebody who Mary Beth wants to see in concert.
A pop star who was big in 2007, who will be here soon. That Jessica Mary Beth Simpson? Is like, we're going. And I'm like, maybe you're going.
Jessica Simpson?
No.
Christina Aguilera?
No, I say
I'm trying to reconcile the Mary Beth of it all and really struggling with that feature.
Pop star with a very stylized rock fashion sense.
Avril Lavigne!
Pink?
Avril Lavigne it is.
I was going to say Avril Lavigne, but you were like close to Kelly Clarkson in tone. Like, how?
There's no meaningful girls. Difference. No. There is not a big difference between an Avril Lavigne song and an upbeat Kelly Clarkson song. There is not a big difference between My Life Would Suck Without You and this song that we're... Well, maybe My Life Would Suck Without You is the good one, but...
I'm pretty sure that Avril Lavigne's only number one is Girlfriend.
That is the number one in question.
Okay.
That's a good one. I like
that. I like that song. Yeah.
Well, maybe you can take my wife to Star Lake. I'm not driving all the way out there.
No, I'm not driving to Star Lake for Avril Lavigne. Aw, he got to use wife.
Yeah, isn't it nice? Isn't it nice when you say that?